Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Maybe you've joined a church or a Christian community at some point in the past, and you found it hard to kind of break through the social structures, if you will. And I trust that you will.
I will.
Why do Christians form or start cliques? That's what this episode's about. I'm Mark Dickey.
And I'm Burt Miller.
This is the Why Do Christians podcast. Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Mark Dickey. I host the afternoon show on the Bridge radio station. My co-host is Pastor Burt Miller from Solid Ground Church in Lewis, Delaware. Burt, how art thou?
Well, Mark Theophilus Dickey, I'm doing well.
Very good. That is not my actual middle name.
Oh.
But you can guess. What do you think it is?
I'm looking at you. I'm going to say Mark.
I'm terrified.
Justice Dickey.
Justice?
Why not?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, right. Justice is a great name.
I think you threw that one. I think you don't want this podcast to end.
Who can say? Who can say?
You know, we love getting questions from you about the podcast, whether it's just a brief little question about an episode we've already done. Maybe you're like, yeah, but what about this exact situation? Or maybe you've got a suggestion for a whole episode like we're doing today. We actually had Rob reached out and hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
He asked this question. Why do Christians, and it didn't quite fit into like our episode titles.
What?
So...
What?
Yeah, yeah. I gave him.
What are we even doing here,
talking
Mark?
To?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So the episode is like, is why do Christians start or form cliques?
Okay.
And the actual question that Rob asked
was, this was not the episode title.
Correct.
Okay. Sorry. It wasn't clicking with me.
It wasn't clicking. All right. Why do Christians? This is what Rob asks. Okay. Why do Christians seem hard to be friends with? Which actually fits into the naming, but why are they hard to be friends with, or why do new Christians feel like they won't fit in at church?
Oh, man.
And at least where my mind goes when I hear that question is I think about how many churches are hundreds of years old, decades. I mean, any group of people that's been together for a period of time,
yeah,
you'll find your people.
Right.
And the way social situations work out, there's like the funny guy, there's the smart guy, there's the, you know, and these groups kind of form. Mm-hmm. And when you're new, and I mean, myself, you know, somewhat recently, like 10 years ago, I moved to Delaware and I had to find my place in a new church. Mm. And when you go to these places and all right, I'm in my mid-20s, got to find the mid-20s people. But, you know, that group of people already has their mark. They already have their mark in the group. How am I going to fit into this group? Maybe I don't. Maybe I need to find somebody else.
Or, sure.
Yeah. And it can be kind of scary.
Well, I mean, in the words of the immortal Michael W. Smith, we're all looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world.
Mm.
My place. In this world, Mark. Yeah.
You want to hear a funny story?
Is it about that song?
It's about that artist.
Okay.
So.
I'm sure Michael W. Smith has friends.
I guess because my brother was funny, but you remember the president, George W. Bush?
Sure.
A lot of people would call him W.
Right.
Like, because that's how he would say it.
Right.
So I would say Michael W. Smith.
Okay.
And... I asked Denise, who's the program director at the radio station, like, isn't it funny how his name's Michael W. Smith? And she's like, Mark, no one says it that way. I'm like, oh, I've been saying it on the radio for a couple months.
Oh, no.
I don't say it anymore. Cycle. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head though. That idea of like how many of us, you know, whether that be high school or whatever, like, you know, I'm the funny guy or I'm the musical guy, and we're all, some of that has to do with identity. Some of it has to do with insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always, when people come to our church for the first time, I'm always thrilled that they do that. And the reason is because how intimidating that place can be. Because, you know, you're walking into a new space and you don't know if people can be judging you based on how you're dressed or how you're, you know, behaving, right? There's social norms. There are all kinds of like, okay, well, they do it this way here and what have you. So I'm always just thrilled when people just show up to the building and take the risk, you know?
Mm-hmm. You got me. I totally forgot about like how you dress.
Yeah.
And you just, I don't know. Oh man, is this a jeans church or
right,
not?
What? Right. Yeah. Pro tip: look at the website before you go.
Ah.
The only time that messes with me is if the website is a lot of stock photos, because then I don't know what to do. You know,
like, just all the people at this church are so beautiful.
That's right. Everyone in this church is in a business boardroom meeting. That's all about. Yeah. No, you know, but like even think about Mark. Do you remember? I think all of us have had moments in our life where we felt like an outsider, mm-hmm. or felt like we didn't fit in. Can you think, like, do you remember the first time maybe for you that you sort of had like a recollection of, man, this is, you know, or like a very, very clear memory of, man, I feel like there's a group and I'm looking at it through the window, but I'm not inside, you know?
Yeah. When I was 8, we moved from basically a suburb of Baltimore.
Okay.
And then we moved to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And we went from, you know, a neighborhood in the suburbs to woods. There's a cornfield across the street. My dad signed us up for 4-H, signed me up for Boy Scouts. And like all the kids in my circle were these like born and raised farmer kids.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, hey, do you guys like Pokemon?
Did they?
No, absolutely not. And it was like everything that I knew about being a person and a child, it just didn't click.
Yeah.
It never clicked. And it was every social group that I was a part of.
Yeah.
And so it actually took like, it felt like a good year and a half before I actually found my people.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't totally look back at third grade as something I'm fond of.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Well, dude, you know, I have a similar story. Like, cause I remember like my family and I, we moved to Delaware from Kentucky when I was going into third grade, same time. And I remember, you know, I talked different than the other kids around. I had an accent and also I remember being an outsider a little bit there, but it didn't really, for whatever reason, it didn't bother me that much then, because I like at that time I kind of had in my head this idea of, hey, you know, they don't know me or whatever, they'll get to know me. And then, you know, it's sort of like the Disney-esque, they'll see the real me and we'll connect. But I remember, I have a very vivid memory of being like all the awkwardness of middle school, you know. Yeah. I remember I was in like seventh or eighth grade and there was a group of people who were, who I considered to be my friends. And I noticed that like they were organizing like weekend trips to go to the movie theater to watch movies together. But they weren't inviting me. And so I remember this one particular day in the cafeteria, I went up to a girl and her name was Sarah. I said, hey, Sarah, like, you know, I heard y'all are going to the movies. Like, could I come too? And her response was, well, I don't care. Which should have been like to me, like, hey, man, this isn't your place. Like if somebody said, hey, can I come? And their response is, I don't care. Maybe that's not your place, but okay, great. So, you know, I got my dad to drop me off there and I showed up in my cool 90s blue jean jacket. and I remember like the exact movie, it was Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. That was the movie.
Nice.
And so everybody went in and all of the kids filled up one row of seats in the movie theater.
Oh no.
And I was just left sitting behind them. And nobody came back. Nobody like sat there. And I'm watching this movie, and I remember that being this moment in my life where it almost like cemented on my heart. This I would say like just the enemy used it to cement this lie in my heart that was fundamentally you are an outsider. Mm. Like that there are people who are in, and then there's you, and you're gonna have to work your way to get anywhere because nobody would ever just like you for you. And I've noticed in my life how much, if I'm not aware of it, if I'm tired, if I'm not in a good place with my faith, how much that seeps into how much I perceive relationships. There are people who, if I step back, no, I know so-and-so loves me. I know, like, hey, we're good. And yet I'll think, oh man, okay, but here was this little bit of awkwardness there, or hey, so-and-so was doing this thing and I wasn't included and whatever. And the truth is, you know, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it to be callous, but the truth is you can't invite everyone to everything.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, folks are going to get together, they're going to have dinner, and they're not going to invite you. And it's not because they hate your guts. It's just because there are only so many seats at the table, you know, and they wanted to meet with so-and-so, and that's okay. But the reason I'm bringing it up is I've learned that there are times where I perceive a distance that doesn't actually exist, but because of that past wound, I think it's still repeating. And that might not be the case. And so when we talk about, like, you know, why do Christians form cliques and whatever, I think one thing that we've got to be aware of is, okay, is it really a clique? Is it a natural circle? Because relationships are organic. They're not planned, usually. Or is it a thing where, you know, I'm perceiving a slight, like, okay, I've been a pastor coming up, it'll be 15 years this June. And you know something I've noticed? I've noticed there's a group of people in the church who are always a lightning rod for the accusation of being a clique. Doesn't matter. Okay, and I'll tell you who they are. It's the worship band. Every time. Every time. Like we'll be in a leadership meeting or a church-wide meeting, and we'll hear this thing, well, the worship band's a clique. And knowing our worship band as I do, and knowing how outgoing they are personally, and how they'll go talk with strangers on Sundays and all that stuff, I'm always like, no, it's not. That's not true. But what happens is this, like, you naturally bond with people that you spend more time with. So our worship band, you know, they're meeting during the week and they're spending hours together practicing, and then they're there early on Sundays and they're spending all this time together versus somebody who maybe comes in, is there for 10, 15 minutes before the service and then leaves. Like, you're not going to be as close. And it's not that necessarily anybody is excluding you. It's just you're seeing a tightness that maybe your heart longs for, but it doesn't mean that anyone's intentionally excluding you.
And as a member of the worship team, as soon as I'm done playing, I don't want to look at anyone in the eye.
Yeah.
And the only people I want to talk to are the people who are like, did you see me mess up? Yeah, I saw you mess up. The people who are in it with me, like, yeah, I'm sorry. I played too fast this time. Yeah. And, oh, I can't believe I forgot those words.
Yeah. But, you know, I've just seen over the years, like, I remember one year we had, there was a couple who were pretty involved in our church, and they left. And one of the reasons that they left was they felt as though they weren't as included in things. Like that they weren't as central to the life of the church as they felt, you know, in comparison other people were. And they told me this at dinner at my house, where it was them and my wife and I, where I was making them steak. All right. Now look, if the senior pastor of your church is having you over for dinner and serving you steak, you're as in it at a church as anyone possibly can be. But the truth is, if you have like a heart wound, no amount of, you know, social invites are ever going to be enough. And so I think one thing to realize is, instead of going like how could I be loved more? How could I be included more? The way that you find joy maybe isn't having to do with what you're putting into things in terms of, like, you know, they owe me this because I'm here and I'm doing that. Like there is the truth that there are different temperaments, and some people, they're going to be naturally outgoing, and so they're going to form relationships really, really quick because they're that person who's just an extrovert and they love going up to talk to strangers, and then they make it a point. Like, Mark, I'll use you as an example. You are just somebody who tends to build bridges with folks very, very quickly. You're very intentional about meeting people that you don't know over and over and over again.
They're glass bridges. I'm terrified every single time. Well,
but okay. But you do. And then there are other people who aren't, who are just like, hey, I'm so-and-so. All right. But then there are other people who they're so maybe terrified of rejection, or they're an introvert and interactions just drain them. And so they kind of keep to themselves. And both of those are going to see different outcomes. I think the path to peace in any of it has nothing to do with the reception that you get from other believers. It's going to have to come from something else.
Hey, Mark, do you like commercials?
I do.
Don't we all?
Wouldn't it be great if we had a sponsor for this podcast?
Mark, nothing would make me happier.
Well, you could sponsor this podcast by contacting us at podcast@wearethebridge.org. You could be a hot dog stand.
A cheese grater company.
You could sell furniture.
Or Wi-Fi.
Contact us at podcast@wearethebridge.org.
I think that's it. I think we got it.
Yeah, what can someone do to, you know, are there like basics that you can do, you know, that kind of anyone can, I know everyone's got a different situation. You might have more charisma than the next person or less, or maybe you're a socially anxious person.
Right.
Are there any kind of just default things that you can do to thrive in a church?
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. And let me give you some Bible for it. I'm going to give you some of the most misquoted Bible in the world.
Mm.
There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that is usually read at weddings. It's the famous love passage, right? And people love to bring 1 Corinthians 13 with, like, you know, love is patient, love is kind. And they like to put on it the context of romantic love, which I want to be clear, it can apply to, like, love between a husband and wife, sure, but that's absolutely not what that passage is about. The passage in context is about church life. So 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is a passage on spiritual gifts, and like, and the context for it is the church in Corinth is all kinds of jacked up, and they're elevating people because of certain gifts and diminishing others because of not having those gifts. And Paul basically says this thing in 1 Corinthians 13, starting verse 20, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. And it's because the conversation, again, is about gifts, okay? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And so we're seeing, okay, like sort of church rock stars, right? You know, with these different gifts. And now he's going to go even bolder. And I like to bring this up because maybe where you're sitting is, you know, you're in a place and you're like, hey, look, I'm doing all these things in the church. I'm serving every week. I'm in a small group. I'm reaching out to folks, and it just feels like I'm not as valued as I could be. Right? Well, listen to verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Meaning, if I'm doing all this stuff and I don't have love, I gain nothing. Okay, so let me suggest to you that the very first thing that you should do is take your eyes off of you and put them on the mission of the church. Like, remove you from the equation. And well, how do I do that? Well, that's what his description of love gives. Because again, 1 Corinthians 13 is about life together in a church. And so listen to the way he describes this. You ready? Continuing verse 4. Love is patient. All right. That word in the Greek literally means long suffering. Okay? So love puts up with it. It keeps going back. Mm-hmm. It's kind. Love is not mean to people. Love does not diminish anybody. It's kind. It does not envy. So love doesn't look at you and go, hey, why am I not as loved as so-and-so? Why am I not as in as so-and-so? That's envy, and love doesn't do that. It does not boast. Love doesn't do this thing where it gives all the qualifications for why it should be loved. You know, here's all the things that I've done, not just in the church, but, you know, here's how smart I am in the business sector. Here's my credentials. Here's why I'm such an asset to the body of Christ here. No, love doesn't do that. It's not proud. Meaning love doesn't go, hey, there are things that are like beneath me, you know, like that, you know, I can't, you know, pick up trash, or I can't, you know, help so-and-so because my gifts are much higher in function. No. Love is not proud. Listen to this. It does not dishonor others. Makes sense. It's not self-seeking. So love takes its eyes off of itself. Okay. It's not easily angered. So if you're in a place where, you know, like you're easily offended, you're not loving. It keeps no record of wrongs. So can we just see how this applies to church life? I mean, the longer you're in church life, it's just there, right? So it keeps no record of wrongs. Well, okay, you know, listen, I was overlooked for this thing, you know, 6 months ago. Love doesn't do that. All right, love does not delight in evil, because love is not about sin, right? But rejoices with the truth. Now listen to this. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and I like this idea, like maybe your translation says love believes all things. The idea is that love gives the person the benefit of the doubt. So, okay, you know, so-and-so was short with me, or so-and-so didn't call me back. love would make me assume they didn't mean it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love always perseveres. And then lastly, love never fails. And so what I would say to you, if you're in this place of like, I'm pouring myself into this church body, I'm pouring myself into this Christian group, and it just seems like nobody cares that I'm there. Number one, maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they do. And maybe there's something that you're bringing into it that's causing you not to see that. But I would tell you, take your eyes off of you and put them on the mission of the group. Put yourself out there with them with no expectation of return, because friendships don't work that way. Nobody goes, hey, I'll be your friend if you give me these things.
Right.
And so what I would say is, like, listen, do we believe that the world needs to be reached with the gospel? Yeah. Okay, then I'm taking my eyes off of me, and I'm going to lock arms with these people to go forward to reach that world with the gospel instead of demanding something from them. I love C.S. Lewis. He had this thing years ago. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, demonstrate some humility. Take you out of the equation. So I think that's a big thing.
Way back, you were, I don't know, a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned about, you know, trying to reach out to someone and just being kind of met with basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess recently found that just because there's a person that I want to be friends with doesn't mean that that's the relationship that's going to thrive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that this is not, you could pick this apart real quick, but like if there's a group that's not accepting you, like, quote unquote, start your own, not that it's a closed group, but like, who else needs a friend? Is there another person by themselves?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, it's just tricky.
And I don't mean that in like a, I'm going to start my own group. If you're
right.
Like, not out of spite, but just right. Like there might be another community in your church that doesn't exist yet that you're going to form.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with something like that, you would want to do it with the blessing of church leadership.
Oh yeah, I'm just talking about people you get dinner with after church.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm trying to have this family over, but they keep saying no. And let's be real, there's only 7 days in the week.
Yeah.
And if they already have 3 or 4 people that they try to get together with a couple times a month, like, yeah, there's just literally not time in the day.
Yes.
It's not because they don't like you.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, no, that's such a good point too. And I would say also, like, I'm not in high demand or anything like that, so I don't look at this and be like, oh, you know, my schedule is such that I can't possibly meet with somebody, right? I mean, but there only are so many days in the week. And also, look, because, you know, in our church, sometimes folks get sad if I'm not their bestie, because they see me on stage and they see me talking. And so they assume, like, oh, I'm going to have every hour of the week to connect whenever anything comes up. But like, I'm just going to be real. I have 2 boys at home who are kids. Who, man, the moment the workday is done, my time is theirs.
Yeah.
And I can either choose to invest in them or invest in somebody else. And are there exceptions? Are there times where, like, if something comes up and all right, on my evenings, yeah, I'm going to go do, oh, of course. Of course. But by and large, no, my boys, my wife, they're my first ministry.
Mm.
And it's not that I don't want to be in community with other people. I find avenues for that. Here's something else to realize, though, and I really want to just bring this back, because sometimes, even within that line of thinking of like, you know, okay, I'm not experiencing it here, so I'll form my own thing. Yeah, but I would just make sure that you're not doing that to medicate any kind of insecurity, right? So like,
yeah.
Why I keep saying this idea of like, take your eyes off of you. There's this passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus, you know, famously is like, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat because, you know, like, God even feeds the birds. Don't worry about like what kind of clothing you're going to have because mm-hmm. God even clothes the lilies of the field, right? Like the big idea is God is going to take care of you. He knows your needs. And so like, as I'm talking about this idea of take your eyes off of you, please don't hear from me that the desire for companionship and friendship is a bad idea. It's not.
Mm.
It's not. But listen to this exhortation from Jesus in Matthew 6:33. So with all that in mind, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So that, like, okay, all your actual like earthly needs, trust that God is going to meet them. But the thing for you to go after isn't more for yourself. It's God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, again, if I could just reiterate, like, take your eyes off of you and put them on the mission. I think if you're in a place of like, you know, I just wish so-and-so would reach out more, that is always going to be the case. And that's something that you can lay before the Lord and ask him to bring healing and peace. And you're, I would say, like, you know, there are different folks listening and there are different contexts. So I'm not trying to be dismissive of like, oh, you know, so-and-so feels isolated. Well, they shouldn't across the board. No, but I know enough to know that past wounds affect so many of us so consistently that the way to peace with it isn't by just finding the quote unquote right group. Because even when you find the quote unquote right group, eventually that right group is going to give you some kind of disappointment because they're human beings. Mm. Like the way that you find the peace is doing what Jesus said, seek the kingdom. Take your eyes off of you, put them on the mission of God. If you want to rally with other Christians and be like break through the clique, the way that that happens isn't by demanding that the clique not be there. It's by serving Jesus.
Mm. I feel like I need to reiterate that when I said like start your own, it wasn't like leave the church and start your own church, but it was like who else, you know, when the sermon is over, who did you see sitting by themselves? Yeah. And yeah, so not
no, but that's a good practice for many of us, right? To just sort of, okay, it's a good practice and you have to be careful at the same time of, hey, you see somebody sitting by themselves in church, going over and introducing yourself. Mm-hmm. Right, the reason I say you got to be careful, man, It's a great idea if it's the person's first Sunday at church. Like, you walk up to them and you're like, hey, is this your first Sunday here? And they go, yeah. Oh, man, so glad you're... It's something else if it's not their first Sunday there. And you ask them that because of what you've accidentally just communicated to them is that they don't matter. Like, all of it, you know?
Hey, I've never noticed you before.
Yeah. Oh, but can I give you one other thing, too? I love just with reiterating the idea of centralizing the kingdom. Paul has this thing he says in Philippians 2:3. Which I think is really, really good. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And the breakdown of that verse is really, really good. So let's take it from the end first. In humility, right, thinking of yourself less, value others above yourselves, meaning the question that you're asking is not, hey, how can I get more friendship? It's how can I build this person up more who comes across me, right? But these two things that he says, like, that are the contrast, that do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. The word selfish ambition right there can also be translated as rivalry. So that, like, don't do anything about, you know, I'm comparing myself with so-and-so. I want to be as in as so-and-so. I want to have as much prominence as so-and-so. I want to have as much influence as so-and-so. I want to be invited to as many things as so-and-so. You don't do anything from that kind of motive. Mm. And then says the other thing is this vain conceit. And actually, this is crazy, Mark. So the phrase that we translate vain conceit is the Greek word kenodoxia. And it's two words brought together. There's doxa, which is glory. And keno is the idea of emptiness. So do nothing out of empty glory. Oof. Isn't that good? Like, don't anything trying to build yourself, like lift up your name and lift up, like, no. It's about the name of Jesus, about the kingdom of God going forward.
Mm. That's cool.
Yeah. I would just say one last thing too. I think, you know, I would hate it if somebody who's listening to this hears, hey, go ahead and just get into Christian community and expect to be disappointed. Right? I mean, any community, you're going to experience disappointment because communities are human beings. But what I would say is think back over the course of your life. If you had some really great, life-lasting friendships, I'm willing to bet, not knowing you and not knowing your life, I'm willing to bet for most of us, those friendships came not because we decided to have a new friend, but because we just met somebody that we connected with, right? You know, my best friend in the world is a guy named Trey Clark, and I talked to him on the show before. Trey and I, we became friends not because we decided that each one needed a new friend. We were on the school bus one day, and he saw me reading a Far Side comic book, and I was like, is that the Far Side? I was like, yeah, and that just sparked all of it. And I would tell you this, and please hear, if you're somebody who wrestles with feelings of insecurity and just feeling like an outsider perpetually, I would just want to pastor you and say, any relationship where you are mad that you haven't received blank, you know, blank enough, is already setting you up for failure. So like, if you're already going into like, why haven't I had this? And I want to demand more of it. Take it back to the love thing. Love doesn't seek its own. Love is not keeping record of wrongs.
But how do you not be a doormat?
Well, that has more to do with being assertive. That's not so much about like breaking a click. Like it's healthy to say, hey, these are my needs.
Oh yeah. I guess it's a different situation entirely.
Yeah.
Cause this is not having any, that's the opposite problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The person's with you too much and they're talking too much about them and not letting you.
Oh dude, maybe we do an episode on like, why do Christians have a hard time saying no?
That's good.
Oh, if you request it, I don't want to uncork that unless somebody writes that in, or we will if we're desperate for ideas. I think a
guy named Bert wrote in.
Oh shoot!
So one thing that I thought we should at least, you know, if you're like, all right, what do I do? What's my checklist of things? Not just, you know, I want to be a part of a community, but the community at my church seems hard to break into, or you know, I feel awkward at this new place.
Yeah.
My immediate questions for you specifically, because I can't, no, for the person listening.
Well, you were making eye contact with me.
Because you're in the room.
Touche.
My first question is, are you going to church? Have you already, are you asking these questions having not been to church in a long time?
Oh, that's good.
Maybe this is how it went the last time you went to church. Go back to church. Does your church have any kind of small groups?
So good. Yeah.
Or Bible studies. There's all kinds of different names for it.
Places for you to meet people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can be a little scary because you're joining another group, but the whole intention of those groups is to study God's word together in community. Mm. So that's small groups. Do they have any large group things? You know, is there a spaghetti dinner at your church, or is there a men's group or a women's group that meets separately? That's what that's there for. You might have it built up in your mind that you can't go to that because you're not holy enough, or you're not funny enough, or, you know, insert your excuse there. We've all had, I say excuse, and I felt guilty saying the word excuse just then, because we've all got our own trauma, our own social issues. We, you know, Bert and I talked earlier about what happened to us in the third grade,
right?
You know, and how we still carry that, you know,
and everybody's got those.
Yeah. Everybody's got that. And what other events does your church have on a regular basis? Are you taking part? Cause I have known people, I've been that person in the past where I've complained about not having community, but I wasn't taking advantage of what was already put there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I don't want to serve at the soccer ministry that my church does.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe it's not about soccer.
Right.
Maybe
right.
It's about serving right. people and getting to know people in God's community.
Are you taking the risk to experience community? Are you putting yourself out there with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you serving and stuff together? Man, you know, I do just one other thing too, just to kind of think about with that question of, you know, not being accepted in church and or in Christian communities. I wonder how many of us wrestle with feelings of shame. How many people, they roll up and they're, you know, man, if these people knew me, they wouldn't like me if they knew what I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that might be a thing where, you know, a podcast episode is not going to fix that. Maybe what you need to do is meet with a counselor or pastor and talk about some core views that you hold of yourself so that when you experience relationships, when you talk with people, you're not reading into that stuff that's not there. I can't speak for every church, but I can't think of a moment in mind where there's ever been a time where somebody walked in and we were like, oh, we don't like so-and-so already. That's never happened. But I think there are times where people walked in, they assumed that.
You know what else you just made me think of was there's no shame in walking up to your pastor or someone else in leadership at your church and saying, hey, I'm lonely. Mm-hmm. Can you help me get connected?
Yeah.
And they might direct you to someone else who might be responsible. What we'll do.
Yeah. I think, yeah, goodness. If somebody were to do that with me, and I'm not every pastor, I would have a lot of follow-up questions very quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I would have on the spot, well, here's how you won't be lonely.
There would be a lot of
questions that would come as a result. Yeah.
Well, and loneliness is, you can be surrounded by people and still lonely.
Sure.
Like, obviously, yeah. There's lots to unpack.
Yeah.
Join us next week for Why Do Christians Feel Lonely? Oh. I'm going to write that one down, too.
Okay.
All right. So, Rob, I hope that was enough of an answer.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, because, I mean, we went all over the place. But it's, I mean, really, it's a common question. Mm-hmm. It's a common feeling that people have attending churches. Every church is different. Every church has their own way of doing things or building community. And every church is made up of broken people. Mm-hmm. And just because one church went a certain way doesn't mean that every church is that way.
Yeah.
And maybe someone was just having an off day.
Yeah.
Like, it might all come down to the reason, you know, you tried to get into that group. Somebody was, they're just in a rush. Like, yeah, I got to go, you know, do whatever. I got lunch with my mother-in-law. Right. I got to run. Can't talk to you.
Hey, there's something actually going on. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a lot to unpack, but we hope that that helped.
And remember, love believes all things. It assumes the best. That is the situation.
That's good. Well, if you, I assume you have the best questions for future episodes of our podcast. That was ridiculous.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I should assume the best.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear your questions for future episodes. I've got like 6 sticky notes here of topics we've come up with on this episode. But email those questions to podcast@wearethebridge.org. Thanks for listening.